It is good to be back with you and good to emerge from the ice and snow. I always love that feeling of the crispness. I shoveled last night at about 10:15 p.m. and it was silent and the world was still and you could hear echoes and it was beautiful. But it's good to be here with you this morning. Just a reminder of where we've been the past couple of weeks. We are thinking through this concept of what it means to follow Jesus. Thinking about what it means to kind of return to the basics in a new year. And 2 weeks ago, we were reminded that the fact that Jesus came is indeed good news. And we're challenged to believe that. Last week, we thought about the fact that that belief, stopping there, isn't enough. We need to take the next step to actually follow. Because when we believe in Jesus, our lives look different and are transformed, and we can't help but look differently. This week is personally a really challenging one for me. Another step in what it means to follow Jesus. And we're going to look at James again to help us with this. Because following Jesus means letting go. Man, I am a person who loves control. So these words from God are for me especially, and hopefully for all of us as well. So we're in the book of James, chapter 4. And just a reminder that James is writing this book to the first believers. They've been displaced. They're trying to figure out what it means to follow God. And James is full of kind of these common sense things, these practical aspects of faith that he challenges the early believers and us too. And so today, James is going to challenge us in what it means to let go of control and to allow God's will in our life. So James chapter 4, starting at verse 13, I invite you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to be doing some looking back throughout. Hear these words from Scripture. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes, and all such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to take a moment and honestly think about how many times you in your own life have done this. I'll make plans. I'm going to move here. I'm going to do this thing this year. I've got this coming. And I'm going to make money while I do it. All of us have these big dreams, these big thoughts about what will take place, what we hope will happen, big moves for the future. And oftentimes, that's where we live. We live in a future mindset. We live in a future time as opposed to living now, today, presently. And James cautions us against only this future thinking, only thinking about what we want, what we hope for. And he challenges us to live presently and to surrender these things to God. Now, I'm not saying that James is claiming that it's bad to have goals or that it's bad to have dreams or that it's bad to make plans, But he is cautioning us that leaving God out of those plans isn't wise. It's not helpful. It's not a good thing. But if we're honest with ourselves, we often make plans as if God didn't exist. We often make plans as if we know what's best. In verse 14, we are snapped to attention. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James is a straight shooter. Sometimes he just says it like it is. The reality is that we don't know the first thing about tomorrow. We don't know the first thing about tomorrow. And the reality is that our lives are but a mere wisp of fog. We live in the Midwest. We know how this works. It comes in for a moment, and just like that, it's gone. That is our life, and we often miss it. We often miss now because we are too busy making future plans. We are too busy thinking that there is so much time that all of that can happen in. We deceive ourselves thinking that there is plenty of time. Once again, James isn't saying that we can't plan ahead, but that he's calling us to evaluate our motives in why we're planning ahead, in what we're planning ahead for. And he's asking us to hold that loosely, to hold those hopes and those plans in open hands in order that God can take and do with it what he will. In hands that say, I hope and I have goals and I have dreams, but ultimately they're not my own. Hands that allow God to direct our paths. Earlier in chapter 4, James is confronting these people, and he's questioning their motives, just as he's questioning us in these passages. In verses 1 through 5, he's basically equating the people to spoiled children. Hey, you, spoiled kids, who simply want your own way. He's calling them children who think that they are entitled to whatever others have, who go kicking and screaming, who will do whatever it takes to get what they want because they think they deserve it, and who only involve God in their plans in order to manipulate the situation even more so to their advantage. They're desiring more possessions, desiring more money, desiring higher status, desiring more recognition. Can any of us relate to those desires? Can any of us relate to the fact that we are those children, that James is speaking to us? Because it's easy to seek control and it's easy to make big plans, but the problem is, and it's even easy to hope for good things, but the problem comes in when we overreach, when we are greedy, when we are self-centered. And friends, isn't that the American way? For those of us who were born and raised in this country, isn't that what we have been trained to do from the time we were born? To want more, to live outside of our means, to have abundance while others want, to take more than our fair share. And here's where we need verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Here is where we need the will of God, and our submission to it is so important. Because following Jesus today means letting go of what may happen in the future. Following Jesus today means shouting no to our own way. And it means, if even it's all that we can muster, whispering yes to God's will. Because if we're serious about following God, serious about acting out lives of faith, then we can't have it both ways. And we have to ask ourselves, whose plan for the future is better? Whose will, mine or God's, is going to lead to a life of fulfillment and purpose? Following Jesus, not simply believing, means allowing our lives to be directed by God. And the reality is that we allow our lives to be directed by God without the promise that they will be perfect, that they will be easy, that they will be all that we had imagined and planned. Many of us are familiar with this concept, right? We're familiar with thinking things are going to go one way, and then something interrupts that, only to have our lives go a different way than we expected. Sometimes that comes through loss. Sometimes through financial insecurity. Sometimes that comes through failure. For me, I was confronted by thinking I had the best plans and trying to figure out the will of God shortly after I graduated from college. This is just one example of many. After college, during my senior year of college, signed on with a mission organization, and I was going to serve in Tanzania for 3 years. I was going to be a missionary, and I was going to do great things. And this future Emily who was going to live in East Africa, in the bush, was amazing. She was great. And I don't know about you, but my future self is often really awesome. So awesome that she dwarfs my present self. And so I took all of the right steps, and there were many moments where it seemed that God was confirming that he was going to do this in my life, only to not be able to go. For the money to not come in, to be told that I couldn't be a part of the team. And I was left wondering and questioning and doubting. I had plans. And all that there was left to do was to surrender and to hope that God's will and God's plans in this situation were better. And in that surrendering, I had to evaluate my motives, just as James is calling us to do. And I came to the realization that yes, I wanted to serve God, but a bigger part of me wanted a life of significance and purpose, wanted self-importance. And that was a hard reality. And verse 9 earlier in the chapter gives us room to grieve these things and gives us room to mourn, because we have to do that. Letting go of something, having our lives interrupted, means that we have to grieve that. And we need that in order to let go. Friends, following Jesus is like being an apprentice. And I want you to imagine with me for a second that there is this young blacksmith apprentice. She finds a master blacksmith apprentice who is willing to take her under her wing, to teach her all that she knows, to train her in all of the things so that she can have a good future. And so she gathers her tools and she prepares herself for the first days of work, and she is eager, wondering what she will create, wondering all that she will learn, thinking about all of these things. And she gets to work, and the master blacksmith has her clean. And he has her run errands. And he has her organize things. And this doesn't just happen on the first day. This happens again and again and again and day after day. And her frustration begins to build, and she's wondering, dude, this is a waste of my time. This is not what I signed on for. This isn't how this apprenticeship was supposed to go. But finally, one day, she's invited to take up a hammer in order that she can strike some hot iron. And she lifts up the hammer and is about to strike a blow, only for the master blacksmith to interrupt her, to stop her, and to adjust her grip. Can you imagine in that minute the frustration of, not only is this the first time you're ever finally allowing me to do something, but you stop me, and now you're telling me that I can't even do it right or even try it correctly, and this grip feels uncomfortable and unnatural. What am I supposed to do with this? When is the real work going to happen? When am I going to be allowed control? And this is how we relate to Jesus as apprentice blacksmiths. We believe, we seek to follow, but we're frustrated when things don't go the way that we thought they would, the way that we planned and expected. Tasks and situations are placed in front of us that don't seem to make sense. It didn't seem to make sense that I was trying to follow the will of God and that was interrupted. It doesn't seem to make sense, some of these things in our lives, the small tasks of cleaning and polishing and organizing. They don't fit in with our picture of the big plans that we have. They feel inconsequential and like an uncomfortable grip. Our basic beliefs about how life is supposed to go and what it is supposed to look like are challenged. James is challenging us, just like the apprentice is challenged. And we want to, just like her, rush on to the good stuff. Let's just get to that future good stuff. And so we conclude with verses 16 and 17. And we want to boast and brag. We want to say, look at this thing that I created today. Look at this great life that I am leading. We want to go our own way. We struggle to follow the master and not our own. But James challenges us that not doing what we know we are supposed to do, holding space and room for the will of God, isn't good. He even goes so far as to call it evil or sinful. And we want to surrender, but we struggle. And I want to conclude with just a few ways that we struggle to let go, to name these ways so that we can identify them as they come up in our lives. Friends, we struggle to let go because of our pride. After all, I know what's best for my life. My dreams are valid. I'm the one who has to get through this world. Right? We struggle because of fear. What will happen? Doubts start to seep in if we really let God's will be done. What might we be called to give up or to do differently? We struggle to let go because, like the apprentice, we think we know better. We think we know the way things ought to go. Jesus is cool. He's great. But the dude doesn't know a thing about living in 2020. And so we struggle because we think we know best. And the final reason why we struggle to let go is because we like the idea of following Jesus, but we don't like the work that is involved in doing that. We like the idea of following, but we don't like the work. We want our lives to be better, but we don't really want them to be different. We want our lives to be better, but we don't really want them to be different. We want the lives that we dream of with no pain, with no uncertainty, with no worry, with no drama. And we wrestle with control. Because letting go, I wish it was a one-time deal. I wish it was something that we just did and then it was done. But instead we say, like verse 15, if God wills it. And then we recant and we take back and we tighten our grip a little bit more on what our life is supposed to be. Friends, following Jesus means letting go. And it means letting go again. And it means letting go a minute from now. And it means letting go tomorrow and the next day and the year after. It means recognizing the resistance, recognizing as we're trying to hold on so tightly, and then loosening our grip just a little bit. And hoping and praying that in that process, our will aligns just a little bit more with the will of God. And the things that don't align, we're able to let go of. This is how we grow. This is how we follow. This is how we take the next step in being apprentices of Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the lives that you have given us. The breath that you fill us with even in this very moment. God, each of the lives in this room that is full of hopes and dreams and plans. God, and our prayer is that those plans and those dreams would align with your will. God, help us to resist fear and pride. Help us to stand in humility. May we hear James. And may we seek your will. Amen.